Welcome to the third installment in our series on Torah for Torah's sake and the thought of Rav Chaim Volozhin. In our first two episodes, we learned first that Rav Chaim's conception of Torah Lishma as meaning Torah for Torah's sake is based, so far as we can tell, or at least the evidence for it, so far as we can tell, is exclusively Gemara on Nedarim Samach Bedam Aleph, and Rav Elazar Bar Tzadok says, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'alam V'Daber Behem Lishmam. So Rav Chaim understands V'Daber Behem Lishmam as speak in them for the sake of the words. It might also mean speak in them for the sake of the dvarim, right? For the sake of the mitzvot. If zaseh dvarim l'shem pa'alam means mitzvot, so daber behem lishmam means might mean speak about the mitzvot for the sake of the mitzvot. But Rav Chaim follows the Rush, and the Rush says v'daber behem lishman kol diburcha asacha b'divrei Torah yeh l'shem haTorah. Right. So Rav Chaim pulls right is based on the Rush understanding lishman as meaning l'shem haTorah. Okay, right, and that's the only definition. We saw the phrase L'Shem HaTorah shows up in Avos Rabbi Natan, but it can't mean the same thing there, or at least it can't mean what Rav Chaim means, because there it refers to both mitzvot and Torah, and here it refers, and Rav Chaim wants a concept that refers exclusively to a motivation for Torah. And the Rashi also offers a definition. He says, Kigon Leidao Lavin Ulasif Lekach Upilpul Velo Lekanter Ulitgaot. So Rav Chaim rejects the idea that Leida Lavin Losif Lekach Upilpul Lishma per se is defined simply as the antithesis of Lekanter Liskaos, of not having interested motives. The core of it is just those words positively phrased, Leida Lavin Losif Lekach Upilpul. I pointed out that the word kigon, so it doesn't seem to be an exhaustive definition, that may matter at some point. Leida Lavin, to understand and to, well, to know and to understand, ulosif lekach upilpul, and to add, to add things that you take away from it and sharpness. We pointed out ambiguity about whether that means to add them to yourself or to add them to the Torah, and we'll have to see which way Rav Chaim comes out. Okay, so then we did Rav Chaim's own version in Nefesh HaChaim, and we pointed out, although he seems to be all the way through, be talking about Torah Lishma entirely in the intellectual realm, at the very end, he sort of slips at the end of Paragimel, and he talks about Ahava when he's in the realm of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's comprehensive curriculum, and the bright about that ends L'Hanchil Ohava Yesh. He says the Torah has the power to give reward to everybody who really loves it. Vainu Losif Vainu Losif, right? Machmat, anybody who learns it, Machmat Ahavata Atzma Mamash Hainu Losif Balekach Upilpul V'Zeu Ohavai. All right, so he turns Lishma into an expression of love for the Torah. Now, let's remember that Rav Chaim began the whole thing by saying that Torah Lishma is not about dveikus. Right? It's not about the spiritual environment of your learning. But in the end, there's something other than just the learning. Now, maybe there's just learning, but the learning is an expression of love. But he slips an emotion in. Right? Then we saw that the Shiuri Das, who apparently believes himself to be channeling Rav Chaim's conception of Torah Lishma, talks about the arevus, the sweetness of Torah as being the fulfillment of Torah Lishma, as to do it for because of one's knows the sweetness of Torah. And that didn't sound like just for knowledge. I mean, you could say that the reason you search for more knowledge is more is sweetness, but it didn't seem quite the same, and that seemed to suggest that there was some ambiguity in Rav Chaim's formulation that allowed the Shiuri Das to slip in this notion of arevus. We could relate the Shiuri Das in a different context to the Eglei Tal, and I think it's in Or Zeruah, I don't remember offhand, which Rishon also says that an essential part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to get hanoah from it, right? To benefit from it, to enjoy it. But I don't know if that's what the Shiuri Das is saying, although it would not be surprising if it were influenced at least by the Eglei Tal. So that's another, right, another space, right, whether in Rav Chaim, is there supposed to be a geschmack, right? Are you supposed to? Does it matter whether you enjoy Torah? So in the end, he says you have to love Torah, maybe, okay? And the Shiuri Das seem to interpret that as talking about sweetness. Okay, what we're going to do in this episode is do the other version of Rav Chaim's presentation of Torah Lishma. This is found in Ruach Chaim, in his commentary on Pirkei Avot to Perek Vav, which, you know, say not really part of Pirkei Avot, but it's in Rav Chaim's commentary on Pirkei Avot, the Perek appended to Pirkei Avot. Mishnah Aleph, and what we're going to do is read it in the context where it probably had the most impact on American Orthodoxy, maybe world Orthodoxy. Although it's an interesting question whether it had that impact Hebrew or English, which is in Rav Yosef Dov's Ish Halacha, then translated by Professor Kaplan as Halachic Man. I want to read it as it's quoted in Ish Halacha, in the Hebrew version. And I'll translate it freely, as opposed to using Professor Kaplan's translation. But you're all welcome to look at Professor Kaplan's translation and discover where I've changed it. And often you'll probably discover that my changes have led to less clarity and accuracy rather than more. But I think it's important to relate to the text here in its own in the original. Even if, in terms of cultural influence, it may very well be that the English version had more impact than the Hebrew. Okay, so here we go. This is the right. This is the quote from Isha Halacha, page 78. It's pages 87 through 89, Halachic Man. And at the end of it, the Rav says that these are the words of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and I don't think they require any commentary at all. Enam zukukim lebiur. So he thinks they're self-explanatory. So we'll have to test that and see whether these words are more self-explanatory than the version in Nefesh HaChaim, which we've already seen has a number of issues. Here we go. Inyan HaLishma. Inyan HaLishma Ikara L'shem Ahavat HaTorah Ligav La'amod Al Shorsha. So here, as opposed to a Nefesh HaChaim, here the term Ahava is introduced at the very beginning, right? So L'shma here means for the sake of love of the Torah. In Nefesh HaChaim, Perek Bet, he just said, is not Dveikus. And in Perek Gimel, he said, Inyan HaLishma, Piresh L'shem HaTorah. But here, instead of saying L'shem HaTorah, he moves rapidly to Ahava, which is the very end of Perek Gimel there. This is Liga. I think that means, or Liagea, right, to put in great effort. V'la'amod al shorsha, and to understand is root. So this is not yet a quote from the Rush. Le'dau l'havin. This is his own language, La Modal Shorsha. I have to figure out, like, what is a Shorish here, and what does it mean to be Omeid on it? Now he moves into the, right, to the equivalent of Perek Bet in Nefesh HaChaim. But if a person thinks that the meaning of Lishma is Dveikus, Vim Kain, and therefore, Lidato Vidimino, right, according to his opinion and as he imagines it, Yachshov, he would think, Sheyasok b'shiros v'tishbachos, he would think that he'll just deal with songs and and praises. Uvifrat b'sefer tilim in imz merot Yisrael, and specifically with the book of Psalms from the sweet singer of Israel, Hamorim ahavat Hashem v'kirvato, which arouse love of God and His closeness. V'zed dailo, and that would be enough for him. Uvo yicheh chayim arivim, and that way he will live a sweet life. Now, this is not exactly the way he portrayed it in Nefesh HaChaim. There was no mention of Avat Hashem there. Right there, it was about Dveikus. But I think he probably, he was contrasting Dveikus and L'shem HaTorah. And here he is contrasting Avat Hashem with Avat HaTorah, which is interesting. So if a person thinks that all you have to do is sing songs, and especially Tehillim, and that will give you Avat Hashem, and that will give you Chaim Arevim, that will give you a sweet life, because you have Avat Hashem Bekirvato, you have love of God and His closeness, even though you might not have Ahavas HaTorah, Avalokenu, that's not correct. Because we found it in Medrash, it turns out to be Medrash Tehillim, although it shows up in a couple other places. Should David Bikesh, Shehosek Bishirav, Uzmirav, Yechashev lo Keosek Binigaim Veoholot. David asks, right, that the person who is Osek in his songs and his Mirot should be considered the same as somebody who is Osek in Nagaim and Oholot. Hareish Nagaim v'Holot Yikarim Yoter, right? So we see that Nagaim and Holot are more precious. The Lo Matzino Sheskim LaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Bazeh. We never found that God agreed to him about this. Let's watch the formulation. Both here in Nefesh Chaim, what he parallels is Osek B'Tehillim as opposed to Osek B'Nagaim v'Holot. But here in Ruach Chaim, let's watch the formulation. He says, so we discover. Right, the Negaim and Oholot are more precious than Tehillim, which sounds like it's the content of Negaim and Oholot. It's the fact that you're engaged in halachic discourse, even or especially about esoteric things, that that is superior to David HaMelech's Tehillim. And in fact, you're Osek with one and you're Osek in the other. So since the the mode of approach is the same, so it must be that the content is different. But Nefesh HaChaim, he didn't present it that way. Nefesh HaChaim, he began by saying Osek and Osek, but at the end he says that Hare Shehaesek Behilchot Hashas Be'ion Uviyagia, who Inyan Yoter Na'alev Yahuv Lufanav Yisbarach Me'amiras Tehillim. So you have a contrast in the approach that that when you're learning that David is not contrasting really doing the same thing to Tehillim that you do with Negei Min HaOlot. Rather, David is saying, is contrasting the intense, exhausting study of Negei Min HaOlot with the study of Tehillim. So I have to figure out which of those formulations is more central. And does Rav Chaim even consider the possibility that one can engage intellectually with Tehillim at the same level as one engages with Negei Min HaOlot? All right, so now he says, but we found that God doesn't necessarily even agree with David about this. Because the essence of learning is not to engage, and the word rock is a little peculiar, not engage only in dvekus. I think the halachic man has simply, but I'm not sure where that, I'm not sure how that fits in. So the purpose of learning is to gain this knowledge and understand everything in detail. And the speech about them should be only for those things themselves. And again, he means the words themselves, not the mitzvot they're talking about. And now he borrows from the Rush, to understand and to add lekachu pilpul. And here again he says, below rak bidvekus, kemoshni shabsu bezeharbe, and not only in vekus, as many have thought. So again, or not simply in vekus, if you think that works. But I guess puzzling why he has to introduce this this word rak. Because you have to go into depth and engage and intellectually investigate the physicality, the concreteness, the this worldliness of the matters. Kigon dinin ezikin, right? Torts v'chein tzarech lefaim lisav litan b'miga shel ramayim, masher ramaya chol liton l'chodemen. You have to do the psychology. I think that's right. The psychology of frauds. You have to know, right? Bad people. You have to think through the minds of bad people. So how does that? How does thinking into the mind of a wicked person? How does that get you to be close to God? V'afshali chavein be'esalimit inyanei yiras Hashem. And even though during the time you're learning, you're not thinking about matters of reverence for God or fear, mikol makom kol halimud hu l'shem yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nonetheless, all the learning is l'shem yichud, so kutcha brichu. So that's also an interesting thing, right? I thought it was l'shem HaTorah. So what does he have to add in this? That even though you're not thinking about yirat Hashem, everything is about yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I got a little puzzled here. And when he exhausts himself in a matter of halacha, Professor Kaplan translates bipashtus as clearly, maybe, right, that it's either to understand it straightforwardly. And certainly the divine presence does rest upon him in the time that he is learning. That, as the Chazal say, that God only has in this world the four amot of halacha. Okay, so now there are a couple of things that need to be said about here before we end the episode and progress beyond the text. The first thing is he ends with dalet amot shel halacha, so that sounds again like we're talking about the content, right? The Torah Lishma relates specifically to the content of halacha. In the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even if you think that that relates to learning as opposed to mitzvot, but it's still only the learning of halachot. Secondly, right here at the end, the whole thing is that if you learn the way he says you're learning, then the Shekhinah is shorah on you. So how is the Shekhinah being shorah on you different than dvekus? And he says your intent should not be for dvekus. So one wonders, are we saying that, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, you have to not aim for dvekus and that's how you get there? But he thinks you can aim for dvekus when it comes to Tehillim, and right, and he and yeah. So, So it must be possible to get to Dvekus by aiming for it. In fact, his whole point is that you could get there by learning also, but you'd probably be driven to find learning that you love and just do the same thing over and over again, as opposed to having a drive to know more. So I don't know that he's rooted the drive to know more. It's not as central in this passage as quoted, as it was in Nefesh HaChaim. We don't have, right, the quote doesn't include Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's expansive curriculum. But in this version as well, you can see that there's a tension whether L'shem HaTorah, really Torah for Torah's sake, is really going to be enough. Because he introduces Avas Hashem, as he did in Nefesh HaChaim at the end, but here it's from the very beginning. Sorry, Avas HaTorah, here it's at the very beginning. And then in the end, he promises you that you're really going to get the Divine Presence. And if the goal is just having the Shechinah be Shorah on you, so then why does it matter which route that you take to it? So we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu only has the Dalai Lama Shalom Lacha, so you can't get, Dvekus any other way. That, you know, undermines his whole argument about David HaMelech and Nefesh HaChaim. He didn't make the same argument, quite the same argument here, that the best way to Dvekus is by reciting Tehillim. Here he said that the expression of Avas Hashem in Tehillim is the arousal of Avas Hashem is unparalleled in Tehillim. So still, that argument doesn't work. And we have noted all the way through that there seems to be a tension about whether the issue is the difference between Negam and Oholot is the content. One is halakha and one is Tehillim, or whether it's the mode of approach. What would he think about learning Tehillim with the same degree of intellectual depth as halakha? If such a thing could be done, would it serve the same purpose? We don't know. So next episode, we're going to read the Ruach HaChaim itself. In the Rav's citation, there are several ellipses. So we're going to read it again and fill in those ellipses and see whether that changes our understanding of what Ruach HaChaim is trying to say.